Hello and welcome to podcast 337 of Five Star Potential, your weekly football manager podcast. I'm Dupe, and on this week's pod, I'm joined by Joe, aka Friday Night FM, Paul, aka Mad FM, and Dave, aka Jason Kumas's love child. You have to fill me in. Ain't got a clue who that is, Dave. Great result against me yesterday, though, wasn't it?
I'd assume it's it is a ex-West Brom player. I'd assume that's a reference. Yeah, I mean, those sort of games, you win some, you lose some, don't you?
Just like that.
Yeah.
Just like that.
Yeah, so on this week's pod, we're going to have a round of round the houses of the save updates. We're going to discuss some players who we, at the time of recording, are yet to sign a new contract and therefore have that glorious approach to sign option in the drop-down menu. And we're going to head to Sweden for our adventures in Wonderkid Land. Before that, winners, losers, Joe, who's your winner?
I'm going to give a little shout out to FM Custom Kits. He's made me some absolute fire for Milikau jerseys, 3D kits. I did think I'd been scammed because it took him about 4 weeks to do them, but he had personal issues, so it's all good. I wasn't in a rush. But he delivered them last night. I literally asked him to make two modifications. He'd done them within about 2 minutes. Money well spent, and they look absolutely cracking in my safe.
We have to get them on the screen, Dave.
No.
Yep.
Awesome work.
Why?
Copyright.
It really does give a bit of a boost when you have a new season, new kits. I think it's only something little, but I think it does really make it a bit fresher, in my opinion.
Obviously, when we do save updates later, what I had planned was new stadium, new kits, new skin, just to freshen it up for the new year.
Yeah, nice.
I've moved into my new stadium. I haven't got the skin yet.
Okay, well, I'm sure we'll get to that later because we can talk about skins later.
Paul? Dave's favourite topic.
Brilliant.
Gosh.
Paul, who's your winner?
Well, last week, my winner was that I had written a blog, and this week, I wrote another one. Two for two. Take that in the new year.
I thought it was going to be your Newcastle podcast rather than...
Dupe's news of the week. I haven't read either of them.
You see, he's...
breaking news.
You see, he sent a tweet out for theirs and he didn't send a tweet out for ours again, lads.
Yeah. Is he still talking about this?
Should we swap him for Matt Hall?
There we go.
I can't believe he just edited a pause in then.
That's brutal, Dave. That's so mean. Go on then. What? Mad. Who's your winner?
My winner. Well, last week I wrote a blog...
that was actually it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Brilliant. Okay, we're just going to move swiftly on.
I don't even know where I'm going with this. Yeah.
Dave, your win of the week, and tell me why it is Wolves.
I mean,
we're winning.
Yeah, Wolves. They're the winner. Yeah, they're the winners for sure. Yeah. I mean, for context, this could be. Yeah, this could age really, really badly. But so I'm not going to talk about the Black Country Derby. Oh, okay. I'm going to talk about loyalty in Football Manager. And I think me being loyal to Supersport is the winner of this week, and I'll explain more later.
Okay. Okay, nice. Mad, where can we find those two blogs? Because you looked at me really annoyed when I just moved on to Dave. But
TalkingMagpies.com.
I was I supposed to say what I actually wrote? Or just,
yeah, go on,
just
tell us a bit more. I can't wait.
He started by slagging you off, saying that you care more about your Newcastle podcast than you do the Five Star Potential podcast. That's why we went off track.
Yeah, I didn't see a tweet about the Five Star Pod.
Dupe is more upset that I care more about that than him. I think that's what I'm just...
He doesn't care about that. He's passionate about the pod. You got to die for 3 points.
Mate, I genuinely can't remember what we say about 1 week to the next, mate. Literally.
That's also very true. Very true indeed.
Okay, so
it's a blog about contracts that we might talk about. We'll talk about it in a while. We might have a chat about some contract players.
Okay, fantastic. I'm going to jump to my winner of the week really quickly. And we're going to talk about this as well. My winner of the week is me. And actually, it's not me. It's Dan FM Databases. It's provided a database to be able to do lower league management. And I've managed to venture into a save that I've teased. Well, not teased, but thought about for a very long time. And I'm actually taking the plunge. So we'll talk about that in the save updates. Right, let's go back round. We'll start with Joe. Loser. Who's your loser?
Well, I was going to put where the fuck has all the football gone? Because it just feels like there hasn't been anything on.
Hang on, you fucking moan about football every week and now you're moaning it's not on.
I don't moan about it.
You say it's shit, VAR this, VAR that. Game's rough. The game's gone. You don't even watch it.
I talk about it being overanalyzed.
Yeah, okay. XG this and XGA this and...
Moaned about Football Manager for years and we'll still play it.
We still fucking pot about it.
Half of us are married and we're still with our wives. You know what I mean? You're allowed to moan. But what I'm going to do, it's football accounts that tweet out rumours, right? And there was one that used to do it, and probably for about 3 years they tweeted that they were on the verge of signing a particular player.
Rozier.
And they ended up signing for another team in the Premier League. Oh. And now they're going on about signing another player, and I see this tweet nearly every other day, and they still haven't signed him. So it's football accounts making up transfer rumours.
Is this
a dig?
I was going to say, is this generic or is this
no, not at all.
So who's what's the account?
I don't know, mate. It's just there's a player called Noah Lamina.
Oh, fuck off.
it stinks of João Palhinha. Yeah.
I don't know.
He prefers not to speak. I'm only joking. I just like to get a little digging at Dave because João Palhinha was linked with Wolves for about 3 years. It was every couple of days there'd be a tweet about him. And then he signs for Fulham.
And a Bayern, isn't he?
Equally, yeah. He was signing for Bayern and that didn't happen. Yeah. That wasn't Dave's fault.
I'll be honest, Joe kind of takes a piss out of me because I believe everything I read on Twitter.
Oh, mate, you gobble it up though, didn't you?
But yeah. Do you know, this year,
properly gobble
it up. I've done well this year. This window I've done very, very well.
It's because Man United aren't linked with anyone.
Yeah,
it's not just United, it's everything.
No one is, to be fair.
No one's going anywhere. I mean, I could have made a big deal.
They're all shit scared because of FFP.
Yeah.
Like all the Premier League's the fucking richest league in the world. They can't sign anyone because they've made these fucking rules.
I know.
That make it hard that now teams can't sign players unless they sell the homegrown talent.
Yeah.
They can't now buy players because they're all going to fucking foul FFP, even though there's so much money generated in football.
Yeah, I mean, we're quite lucky with the Radcliffe stuff. I think we're getting some money put in, but obviously that's not till February, which is great timing, right? So maybe in the summer we'll better spend a bit of money, but
you only sell your youth prospects for fucking like a couple of bags of crisps, don't you?
That's because 9 times out of 10, that's probably what they're worth at the moment, though, right?
No, but you see, like we were talking about Chelsea prior to this, mm-hmm. some of the players that they've sold, the amount of money they've generated by selling homegrown players. Mm-hmm. Like you look at Cole Palmer, for instance, like from mm-hmm. City going to Chelsea, and they're talking about Conor Gallagher potentially going, like, and all mm-hmm. those, they're selling them because they need to basically put that total amount on the bottom line so that they can then pass
FFP. It's free money, isn't it? It's
and they're now just trying
money.
To pass FFP. They're not trying to build a good squad or anything. They're literally trying to...
Haven't City done that with Newcastle as well? You've bought somebody, haven't you, Matt?
Just, I don't know what the fee was. It was a young guy, Alex Harrison, I think his name is. Or
and weren't they, but aren't they talking about getting rid of Almiron as well? Mm. For like some silly figure. They're just... It's all funky accounting now.
Yeah. Well, bollocks, man. I mean... Not to kind of counteract everything I've just said in this segment about the fact that I don't gobble up it over the moment. I did see something today about Casemiro going off, Varane going off, all these players, I mean, going off to Saudi, that is. We need Saudi to kind of get a bit more money again, don't we? I mean, that helped us all out a little bit, didn't it? I mean, they all bought one of our players. I mean, we sold Telles for about $2.5 million, so that helped us out massively.
Yeah, the problem is the Saudis, when they're owning Newcastle and most of Chelsea, it's not hard for them to... cash out, is it?
It's not. Right, Paul, who's your loser of the week?
My loser of the week gives me an excuse to talk about the wonder kid, Jonah Kousiasair from MySave, because I saw Klaitz. He's on a journeyman, I think, right? He's ended up at...
One second. So your loser of the week is Klaitz, did you say?
It's Klaitz, sorry, yes.
Okay,
just
Dave,
clear,
who's your loser of the week, mate? Come on, let's get some fucking drama going. Football Manager community is boring now. There's no drama. Sorry?
Let's Wait, go. You remember the FN community?
It's because Ben's
the
fucked
FN
off.
The FN community back in the day. Yeah.
It's not tough. Everyone hates Ben, so they just. Now he's fucked off. No
Ben,
one...
Ben used to love it because he'd stir it. Ben would stir it. It was brilliant.
Come on, get in the Discord. Come on.
There was always FN beef, man.
There weren't a day gone by when he weren't offering to have a chat with someone in Discord. And now that's all gone. It's all soft now. Everyone gets on with each other.
I could maybe message Klaitz, man, and we can kind of get you in together and you can have a chat. Because
I'm
is
telling
just,
him now.
Just to pick
Klaitz
him
is
out.
Too nice.
He's a lovely chat. Why are you picking on him? You are a woman.
I'm picking on Klaitz. To be fair to Klaitz, he actually took over Ike and he overturned, like, they were, like, way down the league and he actually won the league. But he got caught about because them, yeah. he's had the Wonder Kid Joe Nikusius there, and he got stuck because there was a 1.7 million release clause. Like right now in my save, he's valued, I think it's between 4 and 8 million. And I'm hoping if and when he does go out, I'd be hoping for closer to 20. And I've heard a lot of that from other saves. So yeah, poor old Clates, loser of the week. It's not enough money.
What a helmet. I think he's a nice guy. He'd never be my loser of the week.
No, I would nap. Dave, would you?
Love you, Clates.
No, Clates, if you ever want to just take over from Mad Letzner,
I can put you in touch with someone that does tarmacs and bombs.
Wow.
Fuck. Oh, my God.
Who? We went there.
Jaeger bombs. He's talking about Jaeger bombs. That's all he's talking about.
Now bombs.
Oh, I don't do that. Fuck. I don't do Jaeger bombs very well, as we saw in Sirens.
We saw at the strip club. You did Jaeger bombs.
For a half Irishman, you are terrible on the drink.
You are the worst drinker I know.
You like drinking it. Yeah, it's just terrible.
Beg to differ after the last occasion when we were all together. Very respectful.
You get pissed quite easily, man.
It's because you've got short legs.
Yeah. It doesn't help. I'm a massive drinker. I'm not saying that because I don't drink every week. But I'm a big game player. And when I come out, I come out. Seriously.
Is this you coming out, sir?
That's why they never dance in the Rainbow Club.
That is the truth. Should have went to the actual Rainbow Club and we'd been fine. He gets upset because I outdrink him every time we get together. He doesn't like the fact that I can outdrink him.
I mean, you are about 2.5 feet taller than me, but that's fine.
Oh, mate, you're Irish.
Size matters.
Half Irish.
It's the only thing you're half good at. Dave, loser of the week. And why is it Wolves for losing last night? Last night, yesterday,
had quite a nice week, a productive week. So I haven't really... I mean, if I'm going to really be really picky, it's... same old, that spoilers, I still haven't won the African Champions League. So
it's coming though, isn't it?
I just said Wolves versus Brighton.
That was shit.
Oh, yeah, I suppose Wolves versus
Brighton. Did you see the Brighton TikTok though?
Yeah.
That is good banner. Like, Brighton, that's fair.
It wasn't even that bad a game though, I didn't think. Ah. I mean, for the neutral, it wasn't a classic. I think the result wasn't that bad.
You would have been livid if you went, you plastic fuck. You would have been absolutely livid.
I've
learned from Brighton away.
I was going to say, I know we dig him out for being plastic, but he's done Brighton away and that was a long road trip back.
Yeah, there's somebody saying it took him 6.5 hours to get back.
I've done Brighton away twice. The first one we got relegated to League One, the last game of the season. The second time I went was a Wednesday.
He had a cock up his ass.
It was a Wednesday evening. It took 6 hours to get there, no stop. Watched the game for 90 minutes. Thankfully, we won 1-0. And then it took about another 6 hours to get back as well. So, and I was at work in the morning the following day.
Lucky you don't really work. You work your mum.
Turn up at lunchtime. Yeah. And you go home, you go home before dinner.
Yeah. No, but I was saying... at that point, I thought, you know what? I've just travelled, combined roughly about 10 hours of travelling today to watch... football for 90 minutes.
6 plus 6 ain't 10, mate.
No, yeah, at least 10 hours.
On that note, my loser of the week. We're not going to touch upon my penalty save later, so I'm just going to reference that. Right, my loser of the week is European clubs. You basically stealing players when I'm not in a window. So at the moment, I'm in Brazil. Spoilers. We're basically in the semi-final of the Copa Libertadores, and three of my best players have just gone in the middle of our season. I've not in a window. I've got 111 days before a window opens. I haven't activated them. Forwards again there, Joe, just for you. They've been just bought out. Clauses done. Gone. See you later. We can't register them. Like, we can't get anyone else in. We can't register an extra player. Bullshit.
I thought this the other day. Because how have they left, but you're not in a window?
Because they just because they're in a window. It's in September.
Yeah, but if you're in a window, you can't let a player go, do you? It goes at...
No, they've gone instantly. The internationals have bought them. So the Brazilian window isn't the same as the European window.
That's what I'm saying.
So our window ended a month before. Mm-hmm. And it's no different than when, like, the Saudis after... The Saudis and that, the Germans, they finish in five and we're at 10. Yeah. You can still buy a player somewhere. So like, I just had no... So it's just really...
And they all release clauses then? So it's just all...
All release clauses, yeah. And then just instantly gone within about seconds. And, like, we had a really good chance of winning that. We're in the semi-final. We've done really well. And I don't think we're going to win that now. So, spoilers. Right. Save updates. Davey, you have... you've kind of teased us a little bit about Supersport. Yeah. So, tease us a little bit more. And we'll go to Matt.
So, yeah. At the time of recording, I am just about to hit December. I've stuck with Supersport now. I sort of toyed with the idea at the end of last season to possibly move clubs. I applied for one or two clubs. I actually had a job interview. You guys might remember who it was. I can't even remember where it was.
Antlers.
Yes, Antlers.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah, great, so team. That was a
great team.
Am I the only person that fucking concentrates on anything you lot do?
Yeah.
It's the fucking team that I did as well. Like, I can't remember.
So it was a team that Duke managed in Japan, and they were available, and they were still in the Asian Champions League at the time. I thought, oh, great. So they offered me a job, not offered me the job, offered me an interview, went through all the sort of the motions, and they went with someone else. But I'd actually, that was sort of mid pre-season at Supersport, so I was already mid squad building. And in the end, because of how well we did in competitions last season, I had quite a big pocket of money. And you might have remembered the last couple of weeks I've said, in terms of the budget that I had, I joined Supersport after, at the end of the first season, we were in negative like 500k. Now I'm at 6.5 million positive. And we're getting good transfer budget and good wage budget. So again, when I first joined, my wage budget was about 50k. At the moment, it's over 90k. So that's the difference. Like, it's taken me a while, but I've built a really strong team. And as of right now, 11 games gone in the league, 11 wins. So we're unbeaten at the moment in the league. And including that, the one thing I mentioned last week was that I had to start beating the big teams around me, including that 11 wins. I've beaten Sundowns, who smashed the league last season. I've beaten Kaizer Chiefs, and I've beaten Orlando Pirates. So I've already beaten the other teams that are in the top four. And we're doing well, scoring lots of goals still, 35 goals and 11 in the league. So that's a perfect start there. In terms of the other competitions, the Super Cup was an interesting one, obviously, because I won the Confederation Cup last year. I played against the team that won the African Champions League, which was a team called Zamalek in Egypt. Thought this was going to be a tough game. I smashed them 4-1. I thought, oh, all right, sound. Then the MTN 8, so that's the competition I keep talking about with the 8 teams at the start of the season. We went and won that, and that gives you quite a lot of money as well. So basically, and those finals were back-to-back, so I won 2 pieces of silverware in 2 games. We're in the semi-final of the League Cup. So basically everything is going very, very well at the moment. But what I've done is built a very strong team. I thought, you know what? Loan windows, a lot of good South African players out on loan, not really, you know, playing for their team. So I managed to keep, obviously, Mr. Peters, and he's scoring goals. Neo Rapu, who I had on loan last season, has returned. A guy called Sifumba, who's a really good South African central midfielder, has joined. So I've built it a lot around the roles that I've had this team, because I knew the tactic based on last season. The tactic was good. I'm playing a flat 4-4-2, good roles in there, with 2 wingers, central midfielder on support with a ball-winning midfielder, and then you advance forward or you're pressing forward. So the players that I'm signing are based on these roles and positions, and the squad is really, really big. So as long as I can keep giving people minutes and keep them happy, I think this could be a very, very successful season. But bearing in mind, I've already won 2 trophies. I'm still in 1, 2, 3, 4 of the competitions. So I could win up to 6 trophies this season. I'm not bothered about what I win, though. The main goal really is that I've got to qualify for the Champions League this year, full stop. But I think with how we're doing in the league, I'm top of the league, clear by 5 points, with 2 games in hand. I think I'll be gobsmacked if we don't win the league this season.
Dave, what happens if you don't get Champions League in this round? Are you going to start looking in the mirror? Especially with what Doop is giving.
No, I'd be very surprised.
All people.
Yeah. that's why I was sort of looking elsewhere. And I think the issue is, and if I compare this, obviously Doop will give an update on his save, but if I compare this to Doop's save, you started in Asia, didn't you, Doop?
Yes.
For whatever reason, I think Asia gives you a much better reputation boost than when you're in Africa. I saw that before in the old Pentagon. I won the Champions League in Asia, got the job in South Africa, and all of a sudden it just felt like it was a lot more difficult than I expected to get a job after South Africa. And I think that's what's happening now. You know, I've been almost laughed off when I declare interest in jobs. So yeah, I've got to do it. But I think my squad is so strong this year. Honestly, it's so strong. So if we keep doing what we're doing, if everyone stays fit, I'm going to try and sign. I've still got over £1 million in my transfer budget. Probably sign one or two more players for the January window. And I think we'll be absolutely sound.
Nice.
What was one of your players' names, Dave, you were saying? Was it Mwumbuwe?
Which one? Mwumbuwe.
Right, you've got to have the chant, haven't you? Mwumbuwe.
Mwumbuwe. Mwumbuwe.
I mean, no, his name is actually Sifumba. No, his name was Sifumba.
Suck your mum.
Sifumba. Oh. There are some, like, I've got some funny names. So my goalkeeper's a German Sifumba. Guy called, it's called Weinkauf, or if you're English, you'd pronounce it as Wankoff. there's a lot of a popular name in South Africa is Sithole, a bit like Shithole.
Wow,
I thought you'd laugh at my left back name, Ray Poo.
Jesus,
yeah. Did you?
but yeah, no, we're looking good anyway. We are looking good.
Well, good luck, mate.
Until I'm in China, sometimes.
Good luck.
You need to get in and out of there, mate.
The annoying thing is, I wish I could say this time next week I'll have been done in South Africa, but realistically I might have qualified for the Champions League one next week, but obviously I've got to go and win it then. So
problem is, it's such a small pool, isn't it? Like you there is only X amount of teams you can win that Champions League with. You like, we'll get onto it with mine later, but you've just got to be a bit more versatile to jump ship and take that little bit of a plunge. But you haven't got that opportunity when there's only two teams in that league that will probably win the Champions League.
Well, that and in Asia, you can jump teams from China to Korea to Japan. Where in South Africa, I think that's the only playable league.
It is, yeah, it is, which is a shame. Yeah, so, it is a shame.
Yeah. So unless, I mean, I said it right at the start of the year, I didn't want to download any sort of advanced databases. But at the end of the day, to win the African Champions League, I've got to stay in South Africa. And when I'd sort of got to this stage of building this such a strong team with SuperSport, I felt it would have almost been a waste for me to walk away from it, because it could have taken as long to try and build up, you know, a squad as strong as that.
You've done it before, mate.
Well, like I say, dupe in terms of, and we spoke about this sort of before a few days ago, I've seen people complete the Pentagon quite quickly, because you can win one and almost quite fortunately walk into another job, and they're in the Champions League, and you could walk into another job and within 6 months have your second Champions League. So I'm hoping that's the case. I might win this now and win the other four quite quickly, but I think this is the toughest hurdle, getting your Champions League and getting there. But with the trophies that I've won, I'm already on the South African, I mean, it's not a bit hard thing, but on the South African Hall of Fame, I'm quite high up on that already, because I've won quite a few, other than the league title, quite a few pieces of silverware, to be fair.
How far behind Nelson Mandela are you?
I don't know, mate. He's a goat, mate.
Icon.
He's a legend. Yeah, icon. He's up there, mate.
Mad. Sweden. What are you saying?
Sweden. So I finally got around to kicking off season 3, which was very nice, at Ike. I think the last time we were speaking about it, the big signing I'd made in the summer window was that guy, Augustinsson, the guy who's the left back, and he's like 70 caps for Sweden. He's only 30, what are we, 2025? So he's still probably too good for us, but we spent about 6 million because we had all that lovely Champions League money. And we kicked off the season really well, actually. Now, I think the theme of this save is going to start to be, we get very strong domestically, because when we kicked off the season, in the first 10 games, we're top of the league. We actually lost one game to a newly promoted side away from home. We lost like 3-1. But aside from that, we've had one draw and then 8 wins. So gone straight out top of the league again, early doors. I have to just mention Jonah again. Like, he scored in the opening game. He scored 2 in the second game. He's got 7 goals in 10, I think. And he missed 1 or 2 games as well, actually. He's still wanted by Man United, Arsenal and Liverpool. But we do have him in a long enough term contract for another 3 seasons and no release fee. So, like I said, I'm hoping to get some big money for him because I don't see how we'll be able to keep him. He's still only just, what, 17, 18? I think he's 18 now. I just can't see why we'd be able to keep him because he'll start to realise these big clubs are after him. He actually, and the one other thing on him, we were mentioned the Next Gen 50. He was number 8 on the list. I tweeted this out. They referred to him as the Swedish Benteke. So I'm just going to let that sit for a minute.
Unlucky.
So, there's some serious players and serious names in amongst that group and not really new gens because it's only season 3. So, we've been going well. Couple of things on a few players. I have another new gen that came through. I might have mentioned him before. Dave, I can share his profile over. His name is Robin Eden Persson. He came through in our first youth intake. He's basically a right-sided kind of a forward, but I've retrained him to play on the left as an inside forward. And just in terms of his profile, like he's right now he's 17. He's got 15 pace, 14 acceleration, 15 finishing, which is really interesting. 12 dribbling, 12 technique, 12 passing, determination 19, and flair 17. So this is the first season I've started playing him. He got his first goal for the club, and it was an absolute belter. In a game that we won 2-1, Joe, and the other goal was scored by Gustavo Sá. So he's actually pretty much first choice for us now as one of those double Mazzalas. So far, so good. Dead to you, yeah. And the other thing that just happened yesterday, actually, was I think I mentioned it to you. In pre-season, we're doing all the friendlies, and then you actually play the Swedish Cup. And we got all the way to the semi-final. We won the semi-final. And then you have to wait 2 months to play the final. So basically, I've played 10 league games. We're at the end of May. The season started at the beginning of April. And we finally got to play that Swedish Cup final. It was a derby with rivals IFK Göteborg. And we went and we won that 4-0. So we've picked up another trophy, which is always nice. I don't win many trophies in Football Manager. So we take what we get. It's always nice to have those graphics pop up on the screen as well, the celebrations. So as it stands now, at the end of May, we're about to go into June. And the next thing that'll happen, really, all the other leagues are finishing up. And I'll be waiting to see what happens from a Champions League perspective because we're going to be back in those qualifying rounds again. You may remember we got into the group stages or the league stages that we all don't like. And then I got knocked out in the knockout playoff round after escaping the group by Brighton. So we'll see now what kind of qualifying run we get to try and get back in because, and Joe, you were saying this, the money that comes in from these Champions League games is just sick, especially for AIK. We're getting like 2.3 million if we won a game in the Champions League group in the league stage. Whoa. And like, you know, we're coming up like, yes, we played Barcelona last year. We played Dortmund, but we're also playing Sturm Graz and you know, Copenhagen, a few of these. So like serious money to be made. And I think that will just further kind of exert our dominance on the league. And what I'm really trying to do is just raise the coefficients for Sweden and push like the Champions League agenda. And one of the things I also want to do is eventually get the Sweden job in the game and see if we can get some good players and new gens around. So that's it. That's where I came to the end, actually, of like coming into June. Because even though I'm in mid-season, starting to have a look at the free agent market. And that's actually what just drew me into writing that article that we didn't mention earlier, Dupe, on 5starpotential.com. Because I was just looking at players who are out of contract, even now, because we're in the January transfer in their IRL. And that's where I was talking to Joe about, actually. One of them was like Federico Redondo is on there, as is Gianluca Prestiani. There's a couple of South Americans on that list. And some really good players, actually. I've just kind of tangent into that article. But like I didn't realize how good somebody like Tosin Adarabioyo is, you know, the Fulham guy. Like, he's really good in FM. And I think he's fairly highly rated in real life in terms of other clubs wanting to sign him.
He pretty much starts most games, doesn't he, for Fulham?
He's also 7'9" as well, right?
Just wondering, did you tweet about that blog that you wrote?
Wait, what?
Did you put a tweet out for the blog that you wrote? Yeah, you did.
I did. Of course I did.
Just not the pod.
Relax. Just not the pod, no. Never the pod. And finally, Gabriel Barbosa's on this list. Gabby Goal.
Gabby out of contract. Goal.
Out of contract in December 2024 in FM.
Have you ever signed him?
Not for years.
I know me, Dupe and Dave definitely have.
Oh, I love signing him.
I'm 6 years ago maybe. I can't remember. No, I've never signed them in a save that I was writing blogs or doing any kind of content for, because I would remember writing about it. A Newcastle save, probably, maybe 70 FM, 70, 80, I don't know. Hard to remember.
All right,
at my age. Good player, though.
Great player. Well, let me quickly just talk you through. I wasn't going to reference it, to be fair, but I think we should, because we've referenced it a little bit about the Pentagon. My season at Osaka did very, very well. We won the league. At a canter at the end, really. We won it by 7 points. We only lost 4 games all season, which is really, really good. That was kind of helped with our new gen Kosho, who's a 17-year-old striker with 17 finishing, 15 composure, 15 acceleration. His technique is 14. He's a little bit short, but apart from that, he's great. And he was really good, really, really good. He bagged 20 goals in 30 games in the league for us, and that really propelled us up. So he was very good to have on our team, and really, really helped. We played, we started as a diamond and we struggled, and then we switched to a 4-2-3-1 with him as the lone striker, and he just bagged it, really, really bagged it. We also had a couple of other really good wonder kids. I should probably say new gens rather than wonder kids. And actually one of them was our right back, who, even though attributes wise he is incredible, but stats wise he didn't look like on paper he did much, but in the game he used to seem to always have the ball, always be like the pass before the pass or pass before the assist, used to take players on. And I don't think at all his rating of 6.92 for the season really is a fair reflection of what he did, and with 17 determination at 19, already a very good right back. He's going to be one to watch in this save file and see where he goes.
What role was that, Dupe? Like, was it a wing back?
He played a wing back on attack, and he was just very aggressive. Problem is I mentioned it earlier. Like, Kosho was 5'9", which isn't that short, to be fair. But a lot of the players in Japan, that their height is not 6 foot plus. You know, it's very difficult to find a 6 foot plus. Even the defenders, my other centre back next to Totti was a 5'8" centre back. You know, so balls weren't being whipped in high. They were being whipped, they were being whipped in or across the floor, which then found a breakdown. So his ball would come in, it would find one player, he'd pass it off and would score quite a bit. So, like I said, he didn't really get the stats that he deserved, to be fair. And we also won the league as well. Of course we did. I just said that. We won the cup, the J League Levin Cup, and we lost in the semi final of the All Japan Championship tournament, which is called the Emperor Cup. And that was unfortunately to the other Osaka team, which is didn't go well with the boards, to be fair. So, got to the end of the season. The Champions League's a bit weird because it's a bit like Mads Champions League. So after the end of the season, they then do the group stages. Then you have to wait for the halfway through the season to start the knockouts. They're doing the knockouts now. So halfway through the season, they'll then do the groups. And then you have to wait for another whole season before you then go on
it's
and
so
do the knockouts.
It's so confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hella confusing.
So, I'll be honest. I said to Joe, I think I was in Discord with Joe, I just can't be asked. Like, I can't be asked to hang around for another season, and it'll be a season and a half, 18 months for us to be actually in a final. So there was a few jobs about. One being Kashmir Antlers, Dave, as you well know. They were available, their job, and they were still in the Champions League. So this would be knockout last 16 sort of thing. There was also a couple of other jobs from China who are still in the Champions League. And I think there was one other one from Korea. So I went for them. I went for all of them. And I actually ended up getting Kashmir's job, which was really cool, in the Champions League. They were up against another Japanese team who, to be fair, weren't that good. I think they finished 10th in the league. So you'd kind of like to think that we would get through quite happily there. They also gave me quite a hefty budget to spend. Which I think it was about £4.5 to £5 million, which I stretched a little bit. I'll be honest, with a few add-ons, I bought Nathan Zizi in, which is a centre back from Nantes. That he actually in game is at Manchester United. I brought him in on loan, 6'3" centre back. Just thinking, we're coming up against some of these Saudi teams, and that he's got some quality talent. We need some height at the back, and he is awesome. To be fair, he's awesome in this league. He'll be awesome in most leagues, to be honest. He's only 23, but he's a chap to watch. I'm in 2029, so I'll be excited to see how he gets on later down the line. We also went back to our old club, bought Kosho over, paid $9.5 million structured. If we win the Champions League, we have to pay X amount. Win the league, we have to pay X amount. But I think we paid like $1.2 million up front, and they were quite happy with that. Seeing as I had all summer that people wanted him, and I set like a maximum or minimum amount being $9.5 million. I agreed with him. We then managed to get him for $1.5 million, which means I was the only reason why he was staying, right? And then we also picked up another chap from Tokyo called Matsui, who, again, age 20, 18 finishing, 17 composure. Just quick as shit as well. 15 pace, 15 acceleration. And these two led us to Champions League glory. We went on to win the Champions League. We beat... who did we end up beating? Al Hilal. Al Hilal. They had Christian Romero at the back. They had Bergwijn, Kingsley Coman. So they had some good players. But we all got quite lucky with the draw. Again, Dave, you're talking about needing luck. There was a lot of other Saudi clubs in it. We didn't draw against any of them. We got Seoul instead. We got Melbourne City, to Australia, and obviously Korea, whereas we could have got Al Nassr, all of these other Saudi teams that have got like Kevin De Bruyne and all these players. So we got very, very lucky with that. We then got to the end of that and we left Kashmir at Antlers. We've gone over to Flamengo over in Brazil, who are now in the Copa Libertadores semi-final. So we picked them up in the last 16. Dave's looking at me like, wow, he's getting this very lucky. We picked him up. Well, they were in the second round, first leg. Done really well. Got to September. As the window closes in Europe, we've then unfortunately lost three of our really good players, and we've lost four games back to back. We now have to play Palmeiras in the semi-final. And if we win that, it is only Brazilian teams left. So, fingers crossed, we could potentially win it and kind of walk away from Brazil with the Libertadores as well. But at the moment, it's up in the air just due to the fact that these wonder kids have just been poached. So fingers crossed, next time we get together, we'll have a bit more of a better update. But that's kind of where we are with the Penty.
Are they poached because of release clauses?
Exactly that, yeah. So there's three players that went they went here, 7.25 million, 20.25 million, 10.75 million. Just gone.
Wow.
Gone. And obviously, blitzed. Can't do anything with that. You know, 3rd of September. One was West Ham, one was Everton, and one was Inter Milan. So, yeah, it's just one of them. One being a really good ball, a midfielder, one being a right back, and one being my striker. So that's kind of a bit of a hell of a spine that's kind of disappeared. That's kind of us with the Penty. I'll just really quickly touch upon it because I know the main event's coming up shortly. But we have just started a new save on Twitch. I am one stream in. When this comes out, I'll be maybe four or five streams in. Luckily, we've been able to get a database that takes us down to step four, which is the Southern National Premier League, which is where Cirencester Town, my local team, sit. You might see on Twitter a fair time. I do go and watch them quite a bit, so it'll be quite interesting to see kind of what we can do with them. We've played pre-season friendlies and that's about it. If we win our league or get promoted via playoffs, we'll go to the Southern Premier Central, and then if we win or get promoted from that one, we then would then go to the Vanarama National North or South. So we're two below kind of the football league structure, not even the football league structure, but the conference. So hell of a challenge, but we're going to be live quite a lot. So yeah, if you fancy coming and watch that, that's over at twitch.com/dope. Crikey, been there 7 years. I can't remember the website.
Is that, have they ever been any higher than where they are now
doing? No, this is the highest they've ever been. To be fair, the geezer that's in charge is doing quite well. But what is quite nice actually is there's two or three players that play for the club IRL who I know. I used to go to school with one of them, and I used to actually play with the school team with the other. So yeah, it's quite cool that we are kind of playing, you know, using guys that I know. But yeah, no, they've never been. Oh no, I tell a lie. They've done one season, went straight up, went straight back down again. So yeah, they're in step eight or league eight, step three. So should be good fun.
Nice. All the best.
Gonna need it. Right, Joe, you held back a little bit with Flamengo Cal. We've had some more loving on YouTube, on Twitch. On Twitch, people saying in the chat, people saying on Twitter. Should we do it this week or should we save it for next? No, I'm joking.
Save it for next week if you like, mate. I don't mind.
No, let's not say it. I need my hit
there as a.
Sorry.
Your quick update there turned into a bit of a girthy one.
Yeah, sorry. I wasn't going to mention hits. Anything about the penalty, but we kind of referenced it a fair few times, so I thought we might as well.
Why is that?
Why not? Why not? Do we want a season 7 update, or should we
yes.
save it?
Yes.
Yes.
Saying yes.
Let's be honest. We have to compromise. So. We're going to have to get rid of everyone's favourite segment, which is the quiz. We'll hear yours. Okay.
Gasher Party. Season 7. Familiar Cow. New stadium. Go. New expectations. New tactic. I've mentioned it a few times. 4-4-2 was the tactic that I'd been rocking. Hadn't shied away from it. Balls out. Be top scorers. Kevin Keegan-esque, where we'd concede more, but we'd always try and outscore the opposition. But with the bombshell that I left on last week's update, where both of our centre-backs had been poached, obviously I had a bit of recruitment to do in the summer. I've got a 6'5" Danish centre-half, Jesper Vella. I moved him from kind of backup to starter and thought, yeah, he'd do a good job. And then I bought in a guy called Adriano from Sao Paulo, who's ironically the same club that I bought Douglas from, who I've just sold to Liverpool. So I've literally, they're like my little conveyor belt at the moment of centre-halves. And a Uruguayan centre-half that had been playing at Braga. Weird one, because his preferred foot says either. So, which is quite nice. I've got that balance of I can play him either side of the defence. So, yeah, he's Fabrizio Cordero, his name is. Lovely little player. So, some good additions in the back line there. As I said, obviously new stadium, poor finish in the league. I decided it was time to move from that 4-4-2. So we've gone to a 4-3-3, four at the back, a defensive midfielder, two central midfielders, and then with the generic kind of inside forwards, left and right, and an advanced forward up front. I'd been playing with two strikers the whole time, really enjoyed how that looked in the match engine. And it's weird when you change tactic, you start seeing different patterns of play, as you'd expect from changing the tactic. But after playing six seasons with a 4-2-4, 4-4-2, you see the same kind of patterns, the same kind of goals being scored. You change the tactic, you just start seeing new things, and it's a bit refreshing to see it. And the reason that I wanted to move away from that, I just kind of thought, let's try and shore it up a little bit, see if we can try and grind a few games out, get a few more clean sheets, just try and, I don't know, become a bit more of a possession-based team, I suppose. You know, work our way into the box, you know, the normal thing possession-based sides do, where they try and be the dominant team in a game. Whereas before, I think a lot of the kind of 4-4-2, good counter-attacking, when you've got two strikers up, get fast wingers, you know, you can take advantage of getting them on the break, like winning the ball in transition, getting forward and scoring. Now we're a lot more precise with our football. So it's quite nice to see it in the match engine. But obviously I had put in a defensive midfielder role in. I signed Gabriel Moscardo, and I'd said before I'd signed him pretty much to make money on him. But obviously now I get a chance to play him. But I had to get a backup, and I bought in a Czech midfielder, Daniel Bisic. And at 19, he'd already played like 7 or 8 times for the Czech Republic, full national side. And then a few months after signing for me, he won the Next Gen 50, which we've said a couple of times tonight. So he's actually, after signing for us, become the best young, or rated by Next Gen as the number one player in the world, which is quite nice for Milikau to have. The only other transfer of note was a second spell at the club for a fans' favourite and a Dave Azzopardi favourite, Mr. Fabio Silva. I think if you remember back to when I signed him on loan from Wolves, I paid a lot of money for him, was playing him in the two-striker formation. I don't think he really made his money, but it wasn't a bad... It was a good experiment to have. For the next couple of seasons, Wolves wanted higher 20s, early 30s, millions in to sign him, which well out of our ballpark and just not something I was interested in. But I noticed he was transfer listed for £4 million. So I thought, for £4 million, this Portuguese player, I'm going to bring him in. And I didn't really need him. And I thought, now I'm only playing a single striker. Obviously, I've got Omerodian. He's brilliant. But he's honestly one of the best goal scorers I've had in this game. And I thought, and it just so happens that Echeverry got injured. And I played Fabio Silva on the left. And he literally started the season. And I played two games. I think I dropped it in Discord when I was playing it. And he got at 2.10 ratings and scored 6 goals in 2 games. And I was like, hello, playing off the left, Mr. Silva. And that season, he ended up finishing about 26 goals, I think, in all competitions. And for £4 million was well worth. But done a bit of both, to be fair. Like, mainly, I probably played him on the left more, rotating him with Echeverry. So when you're playing in Europe, I like to play my strongest team in Europe. And then for the league, I'd be playing Silva off the left, probably to rest Echeverry. And yeah, mate, for £4 million, absolute bargain. But with Europe, obviously we had no Champions League because of our crap league position last year, so it was straight into the Europa League, which for the first time in a couple of seasons, it was like I had a good solid pre-season and a start to the season without European football. So I started the league, 6 wins, 6 games, just new tactic, hit the ground running, players are looking good, no one's unhappy for once. And I thought, you know what, as I said, new expectations, I wanted to go for it. It was in our new stadium. We've gone from a stadium that starts at 5,500 capacity. We got an expansion to about 7,500, and then we've got a new stadium that's 22,500, and we're probably averaging about 20,000. So it's gone up massively in terms of the fan base over the years, which is really good. But then we didn't lose until January, which was 1-0 to Benfica, and I'm still getting this thing where the big club bias is really biting me in the arse. I can play European teams, I can play in the league, but as soon as I play Benfica, Porto, not so much Sporting, they do nothing all game. And I think I posted it in Discord the other night. It's when you think of those screenshots where you go, someone's been FM'd, that's me playing against those teams, because I'll have all the possession, I'll have all the shots on target, I'll have everything going in my favour, just not scoring, and they'll have one shot on target, one goal. I know it happens in football. It's just funny how it always happens with those teams, So it's one of those. But in the Europa League, we had Chelsea, we had Mad Greek affiliates AEK, Fiorentina, Wolfsburg, Minsk, Genk, Reims. Again, fairly comfortable against those. So that got us into the playoffs against Shakhtar. We won away 4-2 and at home 2-1. Then hit the round of 16 where we played Chelsea. Lost 3-0 away and then drew 3-0 at home. So not a bad little European run. I did work out that the difference from Champions League the year before to that year was about £40 million overall. So it's big, big money for still being in Europe as well. And as Mad says, when you get a win in a Champions League, when you've got a smaller side with quite a low wage budget, it makes such a massive difference to the coffers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not the end of the world. But I've tended to find probably my own mistake after European games, like I was saying, where I was resting players, dropping Echeverry and playing Fabio Silva. I pretty much do that for I play a wing back on attack, and he's knackered like at the end of every game he's knackered. So you think if you're playing on a Thursday night and then you're playing a Sunday, like he's not full green, you know, but he's high orange. And so you just rotate. And I just found I was just rotating players. And the games after my European games were the games that I was starting to drop points in, like just the fixture congestion was a bit too much. Now, I think the players are good enough that I'm rotating them with, but I just think the whole cohesion, tactical familiarity, the in terms of the link up as well, of the green links that you get, just aren't there when you're rotating like that. Come on, Medals, you got a question, son.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, in between, so let's say your Europa League on the Thursday and what match on Sunday, I suppose.
Yeah.
In between, are you just doing nothing when it comes to training? Like rest, because I find, granted, maybe not as big a squad, but like when I have those 2 days in between fixtures, maybe three, I would be like match and play, do the Europe midweek game, next day recovery, fucking no training whatsoever, rest. And then you might have time for one proper module, and then you're into the day before the game and you're doing a bit of a match practice.
Yeah,
match
tactics. With my training schedule, so after a game, it's always a recovery session and then a match review every time. And then the third option is obviously either travel or rest. And then you'll just go back into training. But what I'll normally do, if it is in a bit of a fixture pile-up, I just go onto the squad view, click the condition, like so you've got the worst of the best, and then I'll just literally highlight them and just say rest for how many days it is between the next game, and just let those players have time
as off. as opposed to putting in a rest module and
they'll have their recovery, do the match review, and then however many days it is until the next game, I'll literally just say don't train. And you tend to find that they do recover better, but I'm still resting a lot of them as well. Like if I was going into a big game, I would probably still try and play them, so I just make sure that I was resting. But I was very conscious of trying to make sure that I was balancing, like when you're playing against a Minsk or a Genk, if you had like Sporting Porto coming up, I'd probably try and keep the better players for those games rather than the European games, and just mess around like that, really. But it was just Benfica, mate. They didn't drop any points. It was relentless. Like I was just trying to keep pace with them, and I'd draw a game and they'd win. I'd draw another game, and then they'd win. I'd play Porto, I'd lose, they'd win. And it was like...
Who's managing them now? Is it Joey Barton at this stage, is it?
No, it was Sean Dyche.
Ah, of course it is.
Yeah, so big Dyche, absolutely flying. But yeah, he ended up winning the league. I ended up second on 85 points, which was the highest points total I've had in the save so far. So I take it as a positive, but also a bit of a kick in the nads, because it was, the whole season was supposed to be exciting. It's a new start with the stadium and, new tactic. And I thought, this is it, lads. This is the year. But didn't quite make it. Thanks, Dyche. We won the Portuguese FA Cup, so the TACA de Portugal. We actually won that. So I have got some silverware just to kind of congratulate myself for the season. And then just a few stats, really. Omarodian, 26 in 39, was top scorer. My top assists was that Argentina central midfielder that I said I signed last year, Christian Escalante. And he scored 19 goals and got 8 assists from a central midfield attack position. Proper Lampard-esque type player when you watch him in there. But yeah, it's been a good season. I mean, well into season 8. I've got 8 games left of that. Spoilers, I'm top of the league. And we were out of Europe.
Ooh.
It could be the season, lads.
Could be the one.
That's a big one, especially with no Europe.
I didn't have a big squad overhaul. I feel like the squad that I went, the starting 11 I went into season 8 with, is pretty solid. Like, I don't think there's been many ins and outs. So this could be our most consistent season yet. And we've got our new kits. So we're looking dapper. It could be the year, mate. We could pick that trophy up wearing our new kits.
Lovely. Stars are aligning.
So more on that. I mean, I'm going to try and finish it tonight/tomorrow. By next week's pod, mate, I'll have finished that season. If I haven't won a league, mate, well, let's just say I'll probably do it the season after. I'm like Dave for the Pentier.
I did.
Take Christmas deadline.
Taking forever to get the job done, mate.
Dave's head's gone, lads.
So, yeah. Oh, mate. Since I said I'd win it. Yeah.
Awesome. I love Portugal. I said to you, Duke, didn't I? I'm in an iron about a save.
Mm.
And I was like, honestly, Portugal is actually loads of fun. But if you could go and manage Porto Sporting.
We did Benfica. The Classico.
Yeah, mate. We had great fun there, didn't we? Like the calibre of players that we had.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Like if you're the big clubs, you can pretty much get any player. Like you get older players that will come back. You can get all the youngsters from South America. Like you have a great fun. If you go outside of that, you can get good youngsters and they'll perform well and they'll get poached. So you then generate money. You can get into Europe. Like, and you can start building a good club. I said to Duke that he should go and manage Estoril. Like if I was starting again now, I would take Estoril over. They're a bit of a good luck story this year in Portugal. They've done well. They've beaten Porto, so yeah, and they've got some good young players. When I play against them, like I don't know whether it's the yellow and it makes me think of Villarreal. And then I think of Las Palmas with Alberto Moliero. Mm. Like there's links there, and I'm like, I would probably manage Estoril. It's got the Formula One link to it with the racetrack.
Yeah.
Like there's things there where I'd go, that would be who I'd go with. I'll give a shout out to one of our listeners because he keeps updating us. He's playing a Casapia save and he's absolutely loving Portugal as well. So it's definitely one, if you're thinking about starting a new save, just have a little bit, have a butchers around Portugal, but don't be scared because no one's got any money to start with. But you can generate money.
Like you've done, right, selling players.
Yeah.
Look
at Dan Gear. Sorry, mate. Look at Dan Gear. He tweeted the other day.
Yeah.
He's sold £1 billion or €1 billion worth of players.
Yeah.
In his safe. Yes, he's Sporting, so they've got some good players to start with. But you literally do the old adage of buy cheap, sell high, so you can make money.
It's just like what even now, like they've got those two centre backs, Ousmane Diomande and Inacio.
Inacio, yeah.
They're going to make over €100 million for both of them. It's just then
they've got two sitting there ready to step up.
Mm.
So it's like that's the thing that you get with the bigger clubs. They've literally got players ready to step up, move into those positions. And that's what you do when you take over, especially with the kind of top three. Braga are pushing as well, like in real life. So that's a good team. Like if you just want to go just outside of the big three, Dave loved Braga. And then there's the opportunities are there, honestly.
There's a team that's quite interesting. They're called, I think they're in the second division of Portugal. So if you wanted something a bit different, Estrela da Amadora. Because they're actually quite a new team. Yeah. They're only founded in 2020.
Mate, they're third in the league in Marseille.
Yeah, yeah. In the Prem.
Yeah, and Marcelo Gallardo's their manager.
Yeah, yeah. Because well, they're only 4 years old. They've got a decent-sized stadium with nearly 10K. Oh, no, they got promoted last season, so they are in the top division at the moment. But yeah, they went bankrupt. But their original club, they had won like cups in Portugal before, so they're quite a popular team. Yeah. So,
mate, honestly, I was cool save. They're in my save. They're always like top six.
Yeah.
So we've been watching a bit. To be fair, I mean, Joe, we've been watching a bit of Portuguese football, mate. I'm turning for it. I'll be honest, I am turning for it. Maybe it will be somewhere I go in the future. Maybe next year we'll be able to do some more updates from Portugal.
When Dave and I, when we done the El Clasico save, we literally done the same thing. Went to watching Portuguese games. Like mainly Benfica and Porto, obviously, but it's just good fun. It's such a good immersive save to get into.
Same network save next year.
Sorry, mate, you cut out.
Yeah, I can work cutting out. Dave, do you want to take us through the adventures in Wonder Kid Land, mate?
Me?
Yeah.
Make it quick, son. We're at an hour.
We bombed them off last week.
This is a good adventures in Wonder Kid Land because Talking Wolves have actually tweeted about this very player. And we'd already put the Wonder Kid in prior to Dave tweeting about it. And he doesn't even know who this player is.
Yeah.
Well, he does.
Am I reading it?
I think you should, mate, because it should get you inspired for Wolves not signing him.
Okay. Well, no, there we go. This week's Adventures in Wonder Kid Land takes us to Sweden, where 17-year-old central midfielder Lucas Bergvall has recently completed his breakout season at Djurgården's. making 25 Allsvenskan appearances and scoring 2 goals and an assist in just 974 minutes of first-team football to help his side finish 4th in the league. Dubbed the next big thing in Swedish football by our friends over at Scouted Football, his performances have not only resulted in his first cap for Sweden in a 2-1 win over Estonia, but now have also reportedly attracted serious interest from the likes of Barcelona, Manchester United, Newcastle, Inter, Juventus,
and Wolves,
and obviously the Wolves. Yeah, Man City as well. I think they're interested. With rumours of an £8 to £10 million move touted to happen potentially in this January transfer window. So I think it would have been. I mean, we posted his profile because we were meant to do it last week, a little while ago. But boys, if you can find it, what do we think of this little Swedish wonder kid?
Can I say one thing as well? All right, this guy, I have genuinely signed him for Man United last year, in last year's game.
You did, yeah.
Yeah, and I played him quite a bit, to be fair. And he's a good little player in FM, really good little player. I'm just looking for
a screenshot, mate, and I've just found twitch.tv/firedancer.
Oh, mate, what a legend.
In the chat.
That should be the winner of the week, mate.
I've just tagged it again. So, yeah, I mean, in terms of his attributes...
The fire dancer, lady.
Yeah. in terms of attributes, I mean, he's a player who could play centrally, DM, central midfielder, attacking midfielder. Obviously, starts the game as a 17-year-old. 6'1", so good height. And again, good technicals and mentals, and high determination.
Model citizen. That's what I love.
You kind of put your thumb over his age there and guess his age. Just with those attributes alone, you're thinking he's actually very well developed. You'd say he's a very good player. You look
he's
at his attributes.
He's got pubes.
I wonder if
it's
they match
Cooper,
curves.
Bit, didn't he?
You look at him now with 18 determination, the model citizen. The world is that boy's oyster. Like, genuinely, like, he, in your save, could go on to do great things. And you can pick him up very
soon. Those attributes playing in Sweden, like, he's already going to be up there as a top performer.
It's one of those
where I think the researchers can't give him more than that because he would just be too good for the league.
Yeah, like, I spotted him straight away in my save. And even when I was streaming it in the early days of the save, I had loads of Swedish chaps, like, landing into the chat, and he was the first name on all like every time they were like suggesting him. He was out, like, I mean, I think that one of the first problems is he's at a rival club, which was making it hard for me to even get near signing him, but I also didn't have the cash. I was making inquiries, we were scouting him, but it didn't take long. He moved to Dortmund. So in my save now, 2025, halfway through season 3, like, I'll drop your profile in, lads, but I mean, he's on loan at, it's Darmstadt, I think. He's got 2 goals and 8 assists for those already. One of those players that, you know, you could look at, is the AI going to do him justice versus if you sign him, like Dupe said, you know, like when you sign him in his safe. He's definitely someone I'm going to try and come back around for a full swing if I get the cash and if he's interested. But you can see the improvement in his attributes considering he's gone to Dortmund, not really played for them and had been sent out on loan. So yeah, he was already out of my league before I even got going. Sadly.
Brave. 3 years of the same haircut. He's done well there.
He has done well in fairness, yeah. Up the face back. But he's linked with everyone. Like, I know you were saying about Wolves there, but he's still only 17. He's already capped for Sweden. Apparently every club in Europe is fucking chasing this guy. So,
see, the fact one that of those... he's out on loan, I think you could probably go back and get him at some point. If you're still playing Champions League and he's just going out on loan.
Yeah,
I think next season would be the season. If he goes out again, I reckon you could get him back.
Yeah, I think you could too.
That you know what I like as well on this updated profile? So, how old is he there? Sorry. He's
19.
No, so, only 2 years difference, right? So, his stamina's improved loads. His off the ball has improved loads because they were the two that I looked at that were a little bit. Well, the off the ball was highlighted and it was a little bit low, but he's a seriously good central midfielder. I like that acceleration. Like, you have him as like a central midfield attack or something, bursting late into the box or something. I think he's a top player. Really
burst of acceleration is always handy as a player, right? So it'd be very good.
And I think if you're watching on YouTube and you see the screenshot that Dave's put in, it's just weird that he plays cricket as well.
Why?
He's got a cricket pitch on the right hand side.
Attribute analysis.
That was very good. Yeah, very good. Right, I think that perfectly brings episode 337 to a close. You can find all the links for each of us in the podcast description or by visiting 5starpotential.com, where you can also find all of our latest Football Manager content, including that very blog that Mad referenced that we didn't let him talk about, his top 10 contracts expiring in 2024. 5 Star Potential is available on iTunes, Spotify, and most other popular podcast apps and YouTube, with a new podcast released every single week. Thank you all for listening. There'll be more from us next week. Say goodbye, folks.
Bye, folks.
Goodbye,
folks. I feel the same, motherfuckers.
Matt, make sure you tweet this one out.
Oh, it's going to get 3 tweets.